welcome everybody. It's time once again for you to jump in the water, swim out with your board, and see if you can pick up that sales pipeline that's just starting to curl over the horizon there with your host, Matt Hines. Hey, Matt.
Thank you very much for finding us. Thank you for subscribing. We are available on Google Play, iTunes Store, Stitcher, and everywhere that fine podcasts are available. And, of course, every episode of Sales Pipeline Radio, every past, present, future episode, available on-demand download at salespipelineradio.com. Each week we are featuring some of the best and brightest minds in B2B sales and marketing. Today is no different. I am super excited. This guy's crazy busy, doing some amazing stuff, and really, really excited to have with us today the Executive Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer of Avalara, Jeremy Corse. Jeremy, thanks so much for joining us today on Sales Pipeline Radio.
Hey, Matt, my pleasure.
So many things we could talk about here. I think, you know, you've got an amazing background, you know, spend a ton of time at Microsoft, a lot of time at T-Mobile. Talk a little bit about transitioning from enterprise software and the mobile industry to sales tax software. Talk about your background and sort of how that led you to Avalara.
Yeah, interesting. Well, I have been, as you can see, most of my career in a big company, you know, often in entrepreneurial roles in the company, I guess an intrapreneur, so to say, as I've had the opportunity to start and grow and restart some businesses in some of those companies, and ultimately worked on one of the largest restarts, which was the Windows business at Microsoft when we completely rethought brand Windows and the product Windows after the launch of Windows 8 to launch what is now Windows 10. So it was pretty fun. Learned a ton through that, but frankly, always had this yearning to do something even more entrepreneurial and looking for a company that's on this next phase of growth and trying to take some of my big company skills and apply them in a way that really helps grow a smaller company. And for me, although Avalara is a very substantial company, 20,000 plus companies using us already, a global company with a global presence, for me it was much smaller, and it really is exactly what I was looking for, is getting to take some of the skills I have and learn all kinds of new ones daily here, and really feeling like having the hands on the wheel every day, and that sense of accountability. So it's been great, having a lot of fun. And the other thing is that I've had about half my career in consumer marketing and product management, and the other in B2B product management marketing. And Avalara is one of these brands that has all the all the realness of a B2B solution with real ROI. But for those who know the brand, and hopefully many will over the coming years, it's got this consumer-esque energy in it. So to me, it's really the best in terms of environment and getting to be a CMO of a brand like this, just the best of both worlds.
I love it. I mean, it is a very unique brand. Avalara founded up here in the Seattle area. It founded on Bainbridge Island across the across Elliott Bay from downtown Seattle. Now has a large presence downtown Seattle as well. What are some of the lessons that you learned in brand management across sales and technology that you've been able to apply to Avalara today? And how has brand management in software and technology changed since you started doing this to where you are today and where Avalara is today?
Yeah, it's interesting. I sometimes call myself the accidental CMO. I actually started life in finance, then ended up in product management, and then general management. And it just so happened that those functions in the companies I was in, whether it was at T-Mobile or Microsoft, is in the marketing department. And so I learned a lot of my marketing on the job, frankly. But what I learned, one of the key learnings I have, is that so many people, particularly outside of marketing, but sometimes even within the function, confuse branding with brand. And what I've learned over time is brand is really, when used effectively, when built with an outside-in approach, looking at customer feedback, competitive dynamics, looking at the internal company assets and capabilities, all of those strategic things that one would look at, is that brand is really the essence of strategy. Is what is that North Star, the aspiration the company has to deliver value and benefit to whichever set of customers they're targeting? And so, I have learned that. I'm taught that through experience, that just how powerful brand can be as a tool that used across the entire organization. And particularly in some of my roles, like at T-Mobile, and particularly even at Windows, is how can that brand aspiration be used from the very start, before it is really starting with the end in mind, before a piece of code is even written, what is the aspiration and experience and that brand perception we want to deliver to that end customer, so they know to choose our brand versus one other. And that just goes throughout the entire organization. You know, here at Avalara, we're refreshing our brand, actually not our branding, our logo staying exactly the same, but rather what we're, our new brand position of tax compliance done right, we're actually activating across the entire organization such that finance knows, hey, I better be able to bill someone accurately and on time, or else what does that mean about the perception that someone may have about our brand delivering an accurate, mm-hmm. timely solution as it relates to tax compliance. So in sum, this notion of brand versus branding and just how every function in the organization is critical in delivering that experience to the customers so that they understand what the company is about and can make the right choice when it comes to finding a solution.
I love the distinction you're making between brand and branding. Super helpful. We're talking to Jeremy Korst, who's the Chief Marketing Officer for Avalara here today on Sales Pipeline Radio. And curious your reaction to where a lot of startups focus their marketing today. I don't see as many startups really focused on brand or branding. You know, I think a lot of B2B marketers and B2B marketing leaders tend to sort of orient themselves towards lead generation, sales pipeline contribution, or even just to, you know, like there's plenty of people that say, well, you know, brand marketing, traditional marketing is dead. It's all about growth hacking now. I don't know that it's an either or. I don't know those things are mutually exclusive. But how do you think about the balance between sort of brand branding and then driving sort of, direct sales and revenue performance in the organization?
Well, I think it all has to be related. And, you know, when I left Microsoft and started on my pursuit of saying, hey, what's next? I intentionally took some time off and spent quite a bit of time with some West Coast companies, tech companies in particular of various sizes, as well as venture capital community. And what became clear to me was that a lot of our brethren tech companies start up with this, this really interesting, unique, often niche technology solution. And in some cases, it almost sells itself, just being a niche and being the type of value it drives. And so as those companies grow, marketers join the company, and really it is about, hey, how do I just feed that demand engine and make sure that I have an effective way of driving somebody from interest to lead to close deal, whether that's virtually via some type of freemium model online or whether it's a more even more traditional B2B inside sales type organization. But what I found in talking with a lot of companies, some of which I'm an advisor to or on the board now, is that a company often comes to this growth challenge, and it may be, hey, I need to expand into a new channel. Maybe I need to add a new product, or perhaps a competitor has entered the space that I now have this challenge. And often they have not attracted the type of marketing capabilities in the organization that really can step back and address those challenges in a strategic manner. You know, segmentation, targeting, positioning, all these frameworks that are really powerful tools that some of the larger brand companies have developed over time. And what we find is that, hey, with some of these simple models and lessons learned over the years, we can apply those brand strategies to those problems to at least give some clarity about, okay, what are the growth opportunities, and then how can I use my brand strategy to then drive that unique position in the marketplace and add a new customer target or add a new channel. And in brand today, you know, it's no longer the, I think Matt, you and I missed out on the two martini lunches and the Mad Men on Madison
yeah.
Avenue. You know, you can't spend enough in traditional advertising to truly reposition a bad product. When I think about brand and that unique position in the market and the hearts and minds of customers, is how do we build the product to deliver on that promise? How do we ensure that when sales interacts with that first customer experience or via the website, that we are building on that brand perception such that it can then fuel the growth that the company is looking to do? So I don't see it in the net. I don't see it separable. It's all part of the same strategy.
I would agree with you. Just quick before we take a break here in a couple minutes, I wanted to ask you, you've been at Avalara now for almost a year. You know, what are some surprises or opportunities that you maybe didn't expect when you came in that you've recognized that are sort of, you know, getting you excited about the years ahead?
Yeah, we are just getting started. The company has been around for a while. We're on a really good growth trajectory right now with some of the advents of global commerce and e-commerce. More and more customers are becoming aware of the challenges they have with trying to comply with ever-changing and complicated transactional tax compliance, which is what we do to support companies. We have a cloud-based solution that automates that for them. But one of our biggest challenges is really category awareness. It's when our, you know, this sales and use tax and excise tax has been around for, in some cases, thousands of years, all the way back to Egyptian and Phoenician times. But getting somebody to be able to wake up and become aware that they may have a problem that they should seek a solution to address. You know, even in other parts of my career, it's been more around, hey, we're in a competitive existing category. How do I position my thing or my widget better than somebody else's widget at a different price or position, however I was going to do that? But just this notion now of, okay, how do we actually build a category? How do we challenge the status quo such that people become interested in solving a problem and thereby seeking a solution and then doing all the things that traditional marketers do to take that from interest down to choice?
I love it. We're going to have to take a quick break here, pay some bills. We'll be back in a couple seconds with more with Jeremy Korst. He's the CMO at Avalara. We're going to talk a little more about his prioritization of mentorship, a little bit of team building. We're also going to find out how a Pacific Northwest born and bred guy ends up such a racing fan, an auto racing fan. We'll get there when we get back. Thanks for listening to Sales Pipeline Radio.
It's no longer enough for B2B marketers to feed their sales team with qualified leads, supply them with content, and bid them good luck the rest of the way. Today's full funnel marketers are actively working side by side with the sales team throughout every stage of the buying journey and sales process, embracing revenue responsibility and measuring their impact based on not just sales pipeline contribution, but marketing influence on closed business and direct revenue growth. Download your free copy of Matt Hines' latest book, Full Funnel Marketing, at HeinzMarketing.com. That's H-E-I-N-Z Marketing.com. Struggling to align your sales and marketing teams? Maybe you're attempting to implement an ABM strategy in your organization, or your content is underperforming. Whatever the challenge, Heinz Marketing has some great on-demand workshops to help. All of them are fully online and on-demand, so you can access the content whenever you want. You will also receive an interactive workbook, the presentation slides, and templates, all for $195. Visit www.heinzmarketing.com/workshops. That's H-E-I-N-Z marketing.com, and get started now.
All right, back to Matt Hines as he continues to swing for the fences with his guests.
Oh, man, it's always depressing for me. You know, I love baseball, and it's such a great long season. Then you get to the end of the World Series, and it's it.
It's over.
And it's, I had to tell my son yesterday we weren't going to get to watch the Cubs again until after Valentine's Day, and he was distraught. He wanted to know why they were they tired? Why weren't they playing anymore? He's like, he's six. He didn't quite get the season thing yet.
That's why they created football.
Well,
to fill in those few extra months.
That's right. And maybe that's why they created racing. So we're joined today by the CMO of Avalara, Jeremy Korst. And, you know, Jeremy, I noticed in your Twitter bio that you list a number of interests, and it's a long list of interests and a very diverse list of interests. But you start with NASCAR, NHRA, the National Hot Rod Association, and Formula One. So big question is, how does a Seattle guy, how does a Pacific Northwest guy get this into racing?
Yeah, that's a good question, Matt. That all started back really at Microsoft. But I guess back, I grew up in a small town, and I remember watching Days of Thunder back in the day when it came out. But, you know, I'd never really had that much involvement or interest until I got to Microsoft, and we ended up, I got to be the executive sponsor for a technology partnership with NASCAR and Hendrick Motorsports, which is the leading team at NASCAR historically. And so I'll tell you what, I was able to go back, watch a race, and was just hooked to see a combination of the technology and testosterone all put together and just the teamwork that it takes and the human element of that sport. It's one of those things that, frankly, it's really tough to see on TV, but being able now to have lots of friends in that motorsport as well as several others now and be able to get some particularly behind-the-scenes look into the sport has just been just so cool for me. So I still spend a lot of time, my wife may say too much time, but learning and getting involved in those.
I think, yeah, it's interesting. I think, you know, racing is definitely one of those sports that if you don't really know much about it, you think, okay, it's just a bunch of left-hand turns. But my dad's been a big NASCAR fan forever, and he's gone to a bunch of races, and he takes his headset and he listens to the chatter amongst the drivers and their pit crew, and he says just fascinating how much strategy is involved, how much thinking. I mean, it is very much a chess match. All right, well, let's get a little bit back to our discussion on sales and marketing. When you look at your resume and if folks, you know, check you out on LinkedIn, you know, one thing you notice very quickly is just how involved you are in the community and how much time you spend helping other people. You're a mentor to companies. You spend time at the Foster School of Business at the University of Washington. Clearly very generous with your time and ideas. What drives that for you? Why has mentorship been such an important part of your professional picture?
Yeah, I mean, I think it probably goes back just to the early parts of my career and life, and just realizing how important it has been that somebody took time to talk to me or to lend me a hand or to connect me with somebody else. And so, you know, there is definitely the aspect of giving back, but there's also just the aspect of just how fun it is to be able to interact with a bunch of smart people who are doing great things, whether it's in business or whether it's in philanthropy. And then there's always, you know, I feel like my life has become just so much more interesting and fulfilled by just being involved with all those interesting people and also just applying my brain and to the challenges of other situations. It's kind of fun to use your thinking cap in an entirely different forum. So there's a variety of things. I definitely enjoy it. And anybody who's not already, you know, actively giving of themselves and helping out and getting involved, whether it's at school, the community, or with another organization trying to get started, I guarantee you're going to get more out of it than you give. So I really encourage it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would imagine that your passion in mentorship also applies internally as well. Avalara has been on a hiring spree in Seattle for quite a while, especially over the last year, as you guys build out, you know, brand new buildings and more space in Seattle, in addition to where you founded in Bainbridge Island. What are some of your team building best practices? I mean, you've been in there for a year. You've gotten a sense for what the culture is. You clearly have been doing a lot of hiring to grow out your team. What are some of the keys you've found to building out the right culture within marketing to support your objectives?
Yeah, great question. And I have been so lucky throughout my career to just work with and be part of some amazing teams. So I've had the opportunity to try things. I've had the opportunity to learn from others. And it really is a constant, constant progression. I don't know if you ever, there's ever a time where you get to the pinnacle of team leadership or team dynamics. It's a constant growth objective. And so some of the things I learned and try to apply is that one is, you hear this a lot, but it is true. Hire people better than you and let them do their job. I often talk with my leadership team, and I call them, hey, we're the board of directors for marketing, and whether it's at Windows or whether it's here now at Avalara. And I really like when I have somebody who's functionally competent and expert in their own area. You know, I have the confidence that they're doing great things and the right things in their area, but then also is able to have the context of the organization overall so that we come together as a team, we can sit there and try to problem solve, create vision, strategy, and drive the team dynamics as this unified group. So I like somebody who has this functional depth but has the broader context and the expectation of, hey, when we're together as a leadership team, we are all in this together. I think another thing I try to do, and I always appreciated it in my career, is, you know, of course, pushing people. People like to be pushed, but being able to stand behind that and give the confidence to know that, hey, if something does break, if when times do get tough, that you've got somebody here that's going to be working with you to problem solve, turn this around, and learn from it. So, you know, take those big swings, take some risks because we need it. But know that we're all in this together. And then the last thing I think is just a big vision. It is people respond, the people that we work with, of course, and particularly in technology, I would say, these big, hairy goals. And so just setting out that vision, you know, for Avalara, it's enabling every transaction in the world. Our founder, who's been at this for years, gets up every morning with just a immense amount of passion that flows throughout the organization with that, you know, singular aspiration, and putting that out and then talking about, hey, here are the steps it's going to take, and recognizing the milestones and those, or those wins as we go in that direction, you know, it really mobilizes the team to perform.
Yeah, I like the way that you describe sort of setting up the team and having that balance between, you know, giving people the room to try new things, to fail, to step outside their comfort zone, pushing them to do that, but also making it clear that, you know, you expect them to do that, and you make it acceptable to occasionally fail and stumble and learn from that. How does that apply to when you're looking for new employees, or when you're looking for junior candidates? I know we had a lot of people listening to Sales Pipeline Radio, the early stages of their career in B2B sales and marketing, look at a position like yours and say, you know, someday down the road, I'd like to get there as well. What are some of the values? What are some of the skill sets? What are some of the attributes that you look for when you're hiring people early in their career and you recommend people hone as their own skill set as well?
Yeah, you know, no, I would have given a longer-winded answer until I had the opportunity to hear a talk by Angela Duckworth from the University of Pennsylvania last year, and she sums it up as grit. And there's all kinds of aspects behind that, but where have people faced adversity in their life and been able to overcome that through persistence, through learning from failure? And whether somebody, you know, straight out of college, I'm on the board of my undergraduate and graduate universities both, and so I get a chance to interact with some of our top applicants. And even at an early stage like that, really trying to identify how people have been able to overcome adversity in whatever form and prevailed or learned from that. And then that, of course, when you're talking, whether it's a junior candidate out of college, same type of thing. College, of course, presents all kinds of challenges, whether social, academic, or others. But then, of course, when you get into more mature career professionals later in life, being able to take tangible examples of how they've had to lead a business or lead teams through times of adversity and challenge and be able to prevail and learn.
Love it. Last question for you that we ask of most of our guests. If there was a Mount Rushmore of sales and marketing, speaking of learning, speaking of people you learned from, thinking back in your career thus far, the people that are mentors for you, the people that have that you've learned from, whether you knew them personally or whether you spent time, you know, reading them, their content or watching them. You mentioned Angela. You know, who else would be on that Mount Rushmore of sales and marketing for you?
Well, I'll tell you, it's probably Raju. Professor Raju is now a vice dean at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. When I was getting my MBA, as I mentioned earlier, marketing was not on my list. He had to put up with me and some of my ideas in my introductory marketing strategy class. The way that he taught really, you know, really inspired me, and I learned a lot. And now I have the absolute pleasure of serving on a board that he is the chairman of back at the school. So I get to be able to interact with him on a regular basis and still learning a lot as we go.
That's awesome. Well, I want to thank our guest today, CMO of Avalara, Jeremy Korst. If you like this conversation today, we have covered a lot of ground in a very short amount of time. If you want to go listen to this again, share this with some of your peers or colleagues, you can definitely find that on demand at salespipelineradio.com here in just a couple of days. We will also put a highlight post featuring some of Jeremy's top answers and comments up on HeinzMarketing.com as well. Thanks very much for everyone for joining us. We are here every Thursday, 11:30 Pacific, 2:30 Eastern, always available on podcast format on Google Play and iTunes Store. Coming up next couple weeks, next week we will be hosting Sales Pipeline Radio live from Dreamforce. It'll be me and about 130,000 of our good friends in the software as a service world. And coming up over the next few weeks, we got a bunch of great guests, including Jeremy Wise-Mantle. He is the VP of Marketing at Marchex. We talk an awful lot about online and digital marketing here, but we're going to talk about the offline blind spot for marketers in an omni-channel world. But until then, for my great producer, Paul, this is Matt Hines. Thanks very much for listening. Sales Pipeline Radio.
Once again, you've been listening to Sales Pipeline Radio, brought to you by the good folks at Matt Hines Marketing, part of the ever-growing channel called the Funnel Radio Network.